So today, we're talking about revealing joy in our lives, not finding it, but actually uncovering it. Yesterday, I went for a hike at Quinney Park, and there's a place where I always stop because there's like this little concrete overpass over the water. They actually built it. And I thought, gosh, I didn't hear the water today. And so I got closer to it, and I could hear the water. And for some reason, water, when it's hitting on the rocks, it sounds like laughter. It sounds like joy. I thought, this is, you know, good. I got to hear my joy. I got to have that little experience right then. But I continued on with the walk. And when I came back like an hour later, I thought about stopping there again and listening to the water. Except I heard a loud crack up high behind me. I thought, oh my gosh. That explains how all those big limbs are on that I have to step over sometimes. There's something, and I thought, I'm going to turn around and look at it. And I thought, no. I thought of every movie I've ever seen where the person turns and looks at it and goes, ah, and then they're under it, right? No, run. Run in the opposite direction. And so that's what I did, and then it cracked, and it did fall. Okay, it was called a sycamore tree, you know, sycamore trees. I always wonder, like, why do we call something sycamore and then always surprised that all of its limbs fall off and it dies, you know. But anyway, it was a very joyful moment heading that way and listening to the music of the water, but it was also very joyful running out of the way of the tree when I heard that sound also. So I think that when we look at our lives, all of our stories, even the one where run, don't stop and look at the tree like they always do in the movies and the stories, but run. I was very happy I had seen those silly movies where the person is looking at it right as it falls upon them. And in my life, I'm very happy for all the things that have allowed me to see that I have choice in my life, choice about what stories and what path I take. And that's what that first quote to me is about. Joys are our wings and sorrows are our spurs. Get running. Get moving when you find yourself in a place of discomfort and sorrow. It doesn't mean you shouldn't feel it. But also, it's always an invitation to expand your story, to expand who you are in your own mind. It's an opportunity. We should have the whole range of emotions. We should not walk around skipping and be like an artificial, what some people call a bliss ninny, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I just told you something horrible and you're like enjoying the story and it's not, you're not getting it. You're not compassionate. We're not talking about that, but we are talking about, as we expand the story of who we are, we begin to reveal not a joy outside of us, but a joy within us. And I think that is one of the things, when we look for anything that we want in our life, whether that's love or peace or harmony or joy, whatever that is, wisdom, when we try to look for it outside of ourselves before we've actually connected with it inside of ourselves, it always seems to fall apart because it's not a sustaining thing. It's dependent upon something else. My happiness is dependent upon everything going exactly the way I want it to go. My happiness is dependent upon somebody else. My happiness is dependent upon the world being exactly the way I want it to look. The truth of the matter is we can feel joy, we can feel peace while there's disruption going on around us. We can expand our own story beyond our physical experience to who and what we really are. We can connect with it. But a lot of times when we strictly look at it from the viewpoint of the personality, which we all go through this evolution, we do more of what that second quote is there with Brené Brown. We don't want to really accept any joy that's in our life because we're afraid the other shoe's going to drop. Have you ever felt like that before? It's like, I'm happy now, but don't get too excited about this because this is not going to last, okay? I'm not going to allow myself joy because it's an invitation for disaster. And I just know that I'm setting myself up by accepting it. That's how some people go through life. That's why you wonder, like, why are they so negative or why are they so critical? It's a form of protection. If you've ever been with somebody, you say, oh my gosh, they're so negative. Like every time you say something, they want to counter it with something. It's really just a form of protection. So if we could see that everybody who seems to be very negative in our lives is actually just afraid that it's not going to last and the other shoe's going to drop, or they're afraid for you if you seem really happy. They're afraid for you and they're concerned about you that you're going to experience that lack down the road. So the good thing they said about children is they are happy because they don't have that whole list, that whole story of all the things that could go wrong. It's not built into them when they first come in here. But as we move along in life, we start thinking about all the things that could possibly go wrong, all the limbs that could fall down on us when we go on a hike, and therefore we don't go on a hike anymore. One time Mark was running through Forest Park and just running along when all of a sudden he got hit in the back of the head with a golf ball. He got beaned. We never get to say beaned. Okay, he got beaned by a golf ball. Again, one of those unexpected things. And so unexpected things are going to happen in our lives, but they don't mean that we stop doing the things that we enjoy. We instead ask ourselves, what am I learning about myself? What am I learning about life in general? What am I learning about death in general and my relationship to it? Can I invite in the whole process of this human experience? Can I invite all of it in and still have some joy in my life? Can I go within and experience a joy that has nothing to do with the outer world? Can I connect with a story that's larger than this world? Because when I do that, I can actually find that the energy in my body increases. And when I have a different story, it diminishes. If we start to understand that our joy is not connected to other people and outer experiences, our joy is connected to a story. Our peace is connected to a story. Our ability to connect with our source is connected to a story. When we live small, we can feel our energy and our joy and our peace diminish. When we connect with the truth of what we are, we can feel ourselves energize and expand. So in this moment, if you consider that you're not your physical being, that's the way you're expressing here. And we talked about this last week. The people are going around with their little mask and their costumes on. If we can remember that we can actually look beyond that costume to who is really behind the mask, and the mask is the story that we live in. If we can see that we are one with the limb that is coming down, one with nature, one with action, one with movement, one with the wind and everything, everywhere. And that we don't have a real beginning and end, but our personality does, our physical being does, but the truth of who and what we are doesn't. Which means we have things that we bring into the world, not that the world gives to us. We bring joy into the world. We bring light into the world. We bring love into the world. It's a give and take proposition. We come in and we give of ourselves, and then we find more of it coming back at us. We can take the smallest moment and find joy. Just by listening to a leaf rustling against a rock, a sidewalk. But it requires that we slow down to feel joy, because it's not the kind of joy that our personality thinks about. It's a richness. It's an awareness of a presence within us and one with us. That kind of joy is different. It's an understanding of who and what we really are, an acceptance of it, of going deeper into finding out more of who we are. Rumi talks about that there are scars in our lives. There are wounds. And he describes the wound as the place where the light enters you. And I think that's a great description. We will have things happen to us. We will get beamed on the back of the head. We will have near misses of different things. We'll have things actually happen to us. But instead of going into the, oh no, something is wrong mode, which is what our personality does, we go into, how is this opening up more light for me? How is this asking me to address a story about who and what I am and expand it? Not poor me, look what's happening to me, but instead, who am I really and who is everybody else? Not just me, but who am I and who is everybody else everywhere? And is it all connected? And do we have stories that prepare us for our future? Do we have stories that need to be expanded? Can we feel joy when we're living in a story of lack and limitation? When we think that what we really are is limited? So that was one of the other things that I journaled. When you realize that joy is your natural inheritance, that's already yours, then what you do is not to look for joy, but look at what is blocking the joy, what's laying on top of the joy, and remove the story of that. So it becomes like an obstacle to your own natural state if you have a story. So instead of looking for joy by saying, I'm going to buy this and this is going to make me happy, I'm going to go there, this is going to make me happy, I'm going to instead ask myself, what story is blocking my joy? What am I settling for in my life because of a story of lack and limitation? What relationship, what job, what situation am I in where I think I have to fence myself in and stay within the healthy boundaries of possibly a very poor relationship? I counsel people a lot on issues with their family, where the family can be extremely toxic. And they'll say, how can I get them to stop being that way? No can do. That's not yours. You cannot make somebody else be that way. But instead, if they are the wound that is creating a place for the light to come in, you can ask yourself, why don't I love myself enough to move away from the toxic individual? That they actually serve a purpose for me to expand my story. And one of the stories I suggest that people who are going through this expand is their definition of family. Right? Family are those that love and support you. They can be blood relatives or not. But what the story is, what the lesson is that you're in is not, I'm going to figure out how to manipulate them and get them to see things my way and treat me differently. Or it's so unfair, I do everything for the family and they don't do anything for me. Not the story at all. The story is, what is your definition of family? Does that make sense? So that's where the joy, you remove that old definition and you fill it in with the new definition. And you all of a sudden you find yourself surrounded by loving, supportive people that match that definition. The other people didn't need to change at all. But all of a sudden you find you're joyful. You find that your soul has settled, as Aristotle says, in its most appropriate spot. We find our most appropriate spot here, the one that matches with who and what we are, and that's where our joy lives. We change up our own story of lack and limitation. We say, wait a minute, do I really have to continue doing what I'm doing, or can I do something else? Can I choose something else for myself? Can I live in a different spot? And will that spot be a better place for me? Do I need to be angry at what I just left? No. I thank the wound that opened me up to a larger story so the light could come in. It seems odd to be so solemn as we talk about joy. It's something about the flute, too. It's very quiet and peaceful. But it is interesting because that outer joy is a very noisy joy. It's a different kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with it. But what we're talking about is a joy that you carry with you, where you are compassionate about why other people are behaving the way they are and you don't need them to change. You allow them and respect them to evolve on their own, knowing that what you do and what you say will probably just make it even more settled into their position. Just as you are when somebody wants you to change, right? So instead you say, I'm going to step away. I'm going to leave the door open, but I'm going to step away from this. I'm going to open my mind, if it's a job or a position, to a different way that I could possibly do something in this world. Because this isn't working for me. It's not feeding me. There's no joy in it for me. So joy is your indicator of whether you really showed up or not. And your job or your position or your work that you do may bring you joy, but it will not bring the next person joy. So there's not like there's one job, and if you go there, you will get joy. It's up to each individual, every relationship. It's when your soul settles into its perfect spot. Not when your social self, your people pleaser self, chooses the spot that you will sit in. But the soul takes us on the journey and we acknowledge it. And every time we have an obstacle come up, every time there's a hurt or a wound, we say, I'm going to feel this, but I'm also going to feel it opening a spot in me to expand my story, to find the joy that lives right underneath it. Thank you very much.